This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1702. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded January 2nd, Angola, Australia, Cook Islands, Diego Garcia, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Germany, India, Japan, Malaysia, North America, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, Peru, Philippines, Russia, Serbia, Solomon Islands, Taiwan, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Angola still has one shortwave broadcast transmitter on the air. Try to hear it while you can, as Nick Hotchko in New South Wales did for his country number 77. He's a ham operator, VK2DX, who a few weeks ago decided to accept the challenge of hearing shortwave broadcast stations, at least 100 countries. Radio Nacional Angola on 4949.758. The carrier was visible from 1700 UT, December 24th. It was best around 1725 with string instruments and drums and disappeared around 1940. Then on December 28th, a much better signal, but more noise. Music audible from 1715. It peaked around 1800 in Portuguese at S6 and was lost after his local sunrise. Ron Howard in California says he had one of his best receptions of Angola, December 30th at 0306 to 0351 on a slightly different frequency, 4949.71. They had news until 0310, then pop African songs, 0333 a radio drama. Here in Oklahoma, I often hear the carrier, obviously offset below 4950 when I check around 0100. Nick Hotchko also reports that his nearby station, Radio Simban in Sydney, NSW, is back on the air, heard December 28th in Greek on 2368.480, with Christmas songs and Greek pop music. Even at his nearby location, the signal was only S7 with noise. Ron Howard in California was glad to hear it's back on the air. He's been able to pick it up before, but says he still cannot hear it now. That may be because, as John O'Wright, also near the station in Sydney, says he heard them December 20th at 0900 fair, only through lots of noise, continuous music program with no announcements. It's 15 miles away from him, and he suspects it was low power of a few hundred watts rather than a kilowatt. And Nick Hoshko says, as of January 1st, Radio Simban has been on the air 24 hours the past 3 days. There's been no shortwave broadcasting from the Cook Islands for decades, but here's something close if you'd like to try to hear it, as Nick Hoshko in New South Wales did. It's coastal weather radio from Rarotonga on 2207 kilohertz. The call sign is now Echo 5 Romeo, no longer the New Zealand colonial prefix. It was ZKR before. This was on December 28th at 1643 to 1648, although it was noisy reception, S4 with fading, giving weather information in English, and I suppose they're probably on the air at other hours. 2207 kilohertz. Ron Howard in California and Nick Hotchko in New South Wales again team up to monitor AFN Diego Garcia, 4319 upper sideband. On December 30th, Ron Howard was hearing them at 1451 with the pop music show called Gravity, and then probably a New Year's celebration on December 31st at 1338 with a lot of kidding around. Also reported by Nick Hotchko, December 31st at 1320 in English with guests in the studio and live music. However, on January 1st, Ron Howard says they were missing. Nothing on 4319 at 1445. We hope it was only the New Year's military holiday. January 1st at 0420, I found a good signal with very distorted and suppressed modulation, slightly below 7235, unidentified language, but Horn of Africa music. It was off by 0454. No doubt it was the 100 kilowatt Radio Ethiopia transmitter, at this hour carrying the clandestine Voice of Peace and Democracy of Eritrea, as in the WRTH, which is scheduled Monday, Wednesday, and Friday only at 04 to 05. Torsten Hallmann in Germany, proprietor of AfricaList, replies, strange, Ethiopia is always around 7236.5 in the evenings, but with very low, almost unreadable modulation. Well, I suppose what I heard might have been, instead of that, some jamming signal from Eritrea. Yet another clandestine for Ethiopia, or rather the Oromia part of Ethiopia, said it would start January 1st, thanks to David Koenig of Interval Signals Online, who found out about it well in advance. It was to start on 17850 at 16 UT January 1st, programming in Afan, Oromo, and in English. The website is oromovoice.org, so I was listening to that frequency at that time. Instead, I heard dead air for about 11 minutes, and then some intermittent talk in French. The transmitter site is presumably Issoudun, France, but this much-heralded new clandestine was a launch failure. They could not actually get their program on the air. This lasted until 16:32 UT, also monitored by Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, Tarek Zaidan in Cairo, Jean-Michel Aubier in France, and Alan Rowe in the UK, all of whom found the same situation. Well, better luck on the next attempt, which should be January 4th, as their website says. It's not daily, but Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Oromo Voice Radio is sponsored by an organization in the U.S. called MADA, Wallabu Media Foundation, MWMF, based in Washington, D.C. They have quite an explanation of their mission on their website in English. In connection with the drastic cuts to broadcasting in Russia, Kai Ludwig in Germany also checked 693 kilohertz in Berlin and found it closed down at 2100 UT December 31st. So there are no more medium wave outlets in Berlin, although there's still long wave 177 at Zehlendorf. Via Alokesh Gupta, Cumbre DX, Free Radio Service Holland says it'll have a special transmission Sunday, January 5th from 09 to 14 UT on 6070 kHz. That's the lower-powered transmitter in Germany. And they also say, check our website to find out the derivation of the strange name Channel 292. It's www.channel292.de, the former Radio 6150 in Germany. Well, I checked it and I'm still confused. Does it refer to a medium wavelength of a former pirate, which would be about 1027 kilohertz, and if so, which one was it? Or is it, as illustrated on the QSL card, channel 292 equivalent to 6225 kilohertz, either a former pirate frequency or perhaps a marine band channel designator? In any event, inapplicable currently. China and India collide on many frequencies in the 60-meter band, and I don't think it's any accident. However, Ron Howard in California was able to hear All India Radio, AIZAWL, that's A-I-Z-A-W-L, not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, on 5050, December 28th, from 1609 to 1630, sign-off, in the clear, as Beibu Bay Radio in China had already signed off that frequency. The Indian station was playing religious songs and was in vernacular, but the sign-off with ID was in Hindi. However, on the following 3 days, Ron managed to hear AIR on 5050, despite China being on the same frequency. Earlier, it was coming in stronger than China, December 29th through 31st, including local news in English at 12:22 on the 31st, 12:30 national news and stock reports in English. He says, amazing to hear this one doing so well against Beibu Bay Radio. Still no Aussie radio from Australia, which used to use and may use again that same frequency 50-50. On Friday, December 27th at 14:10, I discovered that Seabreeze, Shock Azay, had made another of its abrupt frequency changes. It was on 5910. That's the frequency it had been on for several weeks before going to 6140 in the meantime. Nothing on that frequency anymore. Aoki List confirmed that since December 26th, Seabreeze was back on 5910. This was a Friday, but we were not hearing it in English, nor was Ron Howard the previous week, and now the Aoki List shows there is no English scheduled anymore from Seabreeze. So I guess we should no longer call it that, but just Shiokaze. It's all in Korean, Japanese, or Chinese, a different pattern each day of the week. But on Fridays, it's all in Korean, at least so far. I don't hear the North Korean jamming, but Ron Howard does. He says a tearful story was jammed at 1336, December 29th. And did they quickly move back to 5910 from 6140 when they found that Vatican Radio was there from 1330 to 1400 via Irkutsk, Russia? Dinga Kurdistan has finally made a winter frequency change. As of December 20th, says Ivo Ivanov, they must have found that the 11 MHz frequency just wasn't propagating late into the evening. So they've moved from 11510 to 7390, from 18 until 20 UT. That's believed to be via Issoudun, France. They're still on 11510 between 16 and 18. And he says the previous transmitter site also on 11510 between 04 and 16 UT, which is when we usually hear it, is KCH, which means Kishinev, Moldova, which also means Grigoriopol, Pridnestrovia. Malaysia has been missing lately from its two best frequencies on the peninsula, relaying Sarawak networks back to Borneo. We hope it's only temporary, perhaps for the holidays, but you never know. Checking previous reports, 9835 Sarawak FM was heard December 21st at 1457 by Harold Sellers in British Columbia. And also December 24th, I checked at 1357 and instead heard a 1 kHz tone on 9835. The other frequency, 11665, was reported by Harold Sellers December 21st at 1553. Not sure if anyone has heard it since. And now Dan Sheedy in California says 9835 Sarawak FM was unheard when he checked on December 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and 30th around 1400 and after 1500 UT. Several Latin American stations, or at least Mexicans, like to nickname themselves La Consentida, which literally means overindulged or spoiled, hardly a positive name for a radio station. Henry Clements has said that a word like that implies mistress, so it's a bit racy. Anyhow, I heard La Consentida on 1470, December 27th at 0104, and the only match in the listings is XEHI in Ciudad Miguel Alemán, Tamaulipas, just across the Rio Bravo from Roma, Texas. If really on night power, it's only 250 watts instead of 10 kilowatts day power. You are tuned for World of Radio number 1702. Our website brings you a lot more information, and there's no advertising, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Henning Fallbruch in Germany, who sent a contribution in Euro via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank by check or money order to P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. If you haven't heard a strong signal from Radio Ulaanbaatar, that is, the voice of Mongolia, you need to go to Uruguay, as Danish DXer Stig Hartvig Nielsen did. Actually, he didn't go there for that purpose, but he's been visiting South America. He says it's always provided a very faint signal in Northern Europe, maybe because they have a very directional antenna. Here in Uruguay, It's heard with a very, very strong signal. At 0900 UT, December 24th in English, on 12084.87. Nor in North America can we imagine Mongolia with a very, very strong signal. Yet another new frequency from the religious pirate station YHWH, as in Yahweh, because it seems they never used the same frequency twice, but they've been on the 90-meter band lately. Ron Howard in California heard them December 30th, during the most likely hour, 0210, to sign off at 0301 UT on 3255. He says the usual anti-Catholic, Christian, gay, etc. presentation, reading from a 53-page document, and then some strange vocal music. Signing off with goodbye and I love you. Until next time, station YHWH, now signing off the air. Ron says, in the past, I always heard duplicate programs, but this was a new reading from the quoted document. BBC Monitoring quotes the Associated Press of Pakistan, December 29th, that PBC is upgrading its medium wave network. A number of new transmitters have been installed, such as two new powerful ones, 400 kilowatts in Peshawar and 100 kilowatts in Dera Ismail Khan. In addition, the Fakirabad medium wave transmitter is being replaced with a 500 kilowatt unit. And also to be replaced by the end of this year are transmitters in Hyderabad, Karachi, and Larkana. So it's up to us to figure out the frequencies. Ron Howard reports on the Papua New Guinea station on 3365 NBC Milne Bay. It was relaying NBC national radio programming January 1st from 1345 past 1448 UT. He says going for another 24 hours on the air with many IDs in English. From Stacy Rose of Island Praise with anniversary greetings, heard several times. His program is actually on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. local time on the Voice of PNG 90.7 FM. Ron says this is actually a syndicated American program. There is always unexpected info to be mined from the fine print in the eagerly awaited annual volume, The World Radio TV Handbook. So when I got the 2014 edition, the first thing I ran across under Peru was a couple of shortwave stations listed, but not heard or heard of yet, I think, by anybody. Apparently they are licensed, so they might come on the air sometime. They're both in Cusco, 4780 radio OAW7I and 4800, probably related, OAW7J. The latter one is in the town of San Sebastian rather than Cusco City. The power for the higher one is 1 kilowatt, no power given for the other one, and no further information except their street addresses. From the key numbers, apparently these two do not have any siblings on medium wave. I wonder if anyone has anything more about them. Anyhow, keep an ear on those frequencies for new Peruvians. Something to hear besides Djibouti or China on 4780 and 4800. Many of our listeners in Europe and Walt Salmaniv in British Columbia have been anticipating the close down, as expected, of long-wave transmitters in Russia, which would be the end of an era. But they were still being heard on the usual frequencies as of January 1st. Alexander Dyadishchov in Ukraine says this is the explanation. The All-Russia State Television and Radio Broadcasting Company, or VGTRK, has decided to switch off long-wave and some medium-wave transmitters on January 9th. That's according to Mikhail Timofeyev from St. Petersburg in the OpenDX Yahoo group. So, another week to go before these signals disappear. There's a lot more discussion of this, and also about the close down of many shortwave services in Russia in the new DX Listening Digest, number 14-01, via worldofradio.org. Of particular interest to us, since we can actually hear them, are some of the Radio Russia shortwave frequencies in the Far East. 5930 from Petropavlovsk-Kamchatsky, 5940 and 7320 from Magadan, at least on 7 megahertz. This time of year, with mostly winter darkness, I hear that as early as 0100 UT, and it might even be propagating during the so-called daytime further north. Anyhow, that was still on the air as of January 1st. And they were all extending their broadcast past the usual sign-off at 1300 on New Year's Eve. International Radio Serbia dropped its North American service last summer, although they keep pretending they're doing it on their schedule in the B13 season. That would be at 0130 in English on 6190, nothing there. However, this time of year, the English broadcast to Europe penetrates this far into North America at 22 UT on 6100. Ron Howard found out from Hasegawa that Solomon Islands Broadcasting had an agreement with Radio Australia that RA would occupy 6080 to keep any other stations from using it only until SIBC was ready to use 6080. But several weeks ago, SIBC came on 6080, but Radio Australia did not go off. It kept broadcasting at 0900 UT, causing heavy interference. Well, now finally, SIBC has given up, apparently, and moved back to another frequency they had available, 9545, first reported by Dave Vaco, Pennsylvania, via Hardcordiax, December 31st. That being New Year's Eve, they also stayed on the air later than the usual sign-off at 1200 for their local arrival of 2014 at 1300 UT and still going at least half an hour later. And this time on exactly 9545 rather than 1 or 2 kilohertz off. It's also heard by Ron Howard and Nick Hotchko, who said they were staying on the air at least on New Year's straight through the night until 1900 UT. That possibilized reception in Europe, where Tudor Vidiano in Romania heard them at 1530. According to Seichi Hasegawa and Ron Howard, it appears they leave the carrier on 24 hours, although the normal programming time is from 19 until 12 UT. However, watch out for interference from the Philippines. Before 2300, it's VOA, and after 2300, it's FEBC, as logged by Claudio Galas in Chile. There have been a number of changes in WRMI programming and frequency usage I won't go into here. You can read all about them at WRMI.net. The live Happy Station show from PCJ Radio International via WRMI the last Sunday in December came in well via WRMI on 11880, 1330 to 1430 UT. And Keith Perrone tells me he'll be doing it again, but it'll be a regular focus on Asia and Pacific and Happy Station program on the first Sunday in January. Lucy Burton of BBC World Service interviewed me about the future of shortwave for the program World Business Report, December 30th. You can hear the whole thing online, including her visit to Radio Romania International, where they told her they might stay on shortwave for another 3 years. But here's the portion interviewing yours truly.
So how much longer will Radio Romania use shortwave for?
I think that in the next maximum 3 years, I think it will be history.
That's unwelcome news to enthusiasts like Glenn Hauser.
World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave.
He's a radio show host from Oklahoma in the United States.
Bahrain, Brazil, Cuba, Equatorial Guinea.
His weekly show, World of Radio, takes a look at what's been happening in the world of shortwave radio.
Shortwave has a tremendous advantage in that it's a direct connection, or almost direct, between the station and the listener. There's no intermediary. It's coming right through the ionosphere, bouncing from one part of the world to another. Some countries try to block shortwave by jamming, which is somewhat effective, but they can't cut it off or interrupt it, as is the case with broadcasting via internet. It's an old technology, but it is efficient.
I suppose the question is there a commercial reason to keep shortwave going?
Apparently many shortwave or former shortwave broadcasters think there is not. Of course, it does involve an expense of running many kilowatt hours of electricity into the ionosphere, and that is an expense the stations have to pay.
So other than, I suppose, preserving this kind of once fantastic piece of broadcasting equipment, Is it just perhaps enthusiasts that want to keep it going?
Well, it's the enthusiasts we know about and we hear from. Unfortunately, there is not a very effective way to do audience research on shortwave to know how many people are really out there listening and may not be, quote, enthusiasts who make their presence known.
So there could be far more people that rely on it.
Yes, and even, I'm sure this varies depending on the situation, but shortwave is a reliable backup means, if nothing else, for reaching listeners, and it should be kept available, if not in full use, by many different stations.
Do you see a day when there are no shortwave transmitters left at all?
I really doubt that. There certainly has been attrition, and a number of stations have closed down, but there are many small stations which still use shortwave. And by the way, although a number of relay sites in our North American area or in the Americas have closed down, unfortunately, there's been a recent development in that one has been revived, and it's the largest one in the Western Hemisphere at Okeechobee, Florida. And now they have 13 shortwave transmitters available, which could carry all kinds of stations from overseas if they would just make use of them for relays. And I wish one of those would be the BBC World Service. We miss it very much for being able to just turn on a radio and hear it.
Another factor of concern is the low level of tax collection.
As Mr. Hauser points out, shortwave gets to people and places that the internet cannot, either because of a lack of infrastructure or because governments simply block the content. But in a world of austerity and cost-cutting, radio stations are under increasing pressure to make savings where they can. And the giant masts that transmit shortwave are often the first to fall. But its supporters continue to hope that this form of broadcasting will be with us just a little bit longer.
Lucy Burton with that report from Romania. And stay tuned for more special features on the future of the media throughout the week.
Nick Hotchko in New South Wales has a comment about this subject too. Broadcasters who are now in a hurry to leave shortwave and detonate antenna systems could one day regret such short-sighted decision. There is no more affordable way to promote a nation's pride and its ideas, culture, political stands than to broadcast on shortwave. For the cost of one tank, one can employ hundreds of staff and continue to broadcast for years. The waste of both human resources, engineering skills, and equipment is irreversible damage, but most politicians are myopic. Although there was an internet problem last week, the new time for World of Radio on Area 51 via WBCQ is UT Mondays at 0400 variable on 5110 variable compatible USB. I am not impressed with the new e-publication Spectrum Monitor. The editor who previously convinced Bob Grove that Monitoring Times did not need me as a columnist now is attempting to write about shortwave broadcasting himself, making mistake after mistake in the inaugural January issue, which I have gleefully corrected. For example, a totally imaginary English service from Radio Cairo to North America on 15710 from 18 to 21 UTC. The propagation outlook from Boulder, ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4 January 2nd and 10th. Solar flux peaking at 155 January 5th and 6th, down to 135 around the 10th and 12th, and back up to 150 by January 15th. And so concludes World of Radio number 1702. Glenn Hauser here wishing you the very best for 2014.